I'd like to call the Transportation, Finance, and Policy Division to order. Representative Rakovina, we're waiting.
Well, Mr. Chair, I put the circuitous road.
Members, we don't
I thought you were in 200, then I thought you were in 5, and then I came here, so I stopped all the way.
We don't have a quorum yet, so soon we get one, we'll attend to the meeting. Representative Rakovina, I'll move House File 878 to be laid over for possible inclusion. And, I got the wrong number, 464, thank you.
Mr. Chair, could I go ahead without?
Yeah, I'll move House 464. Representative Rakovina.
Well, Mr. Chair, thank you, Mr. Chair and members, and we had heard this in Policy Committee, and basically what the bill does is it just allows you, when passing on a two-lane highway, to go over the posted speed limit so that you can get around, overtake the vehicle that you're passing, get back in the lane, like as I said in Policy Committee, like we were taught when we took driver's training one. Before Ms. Mann and others on the committee were born. But anyway, and that's the way it works, and I think it's much safer to do that, but you will hear from MDOT that they've got a whole other theory on it. But members, you know, I just do want to say before the Department of Transportation gets up here that these roads were all built, most of them for 65 mile an hour daytime driving and 55 at night, if you remember. So, you know, the roads and the hills, and you're a engineer that's worked in this area for many, many years, Mr. Chair. I think the fiscal implications that Department of Transportation is going to throw out there are somewhat exaggerated, to be kind. So, you know, with that, I'll just stand for any questions.
Representative Rakovina, we have a fiscal note. Is that being passed? They're copying it, being passed out. Is that? So the members will have a fiscal note. Unless there's some questions, the policy has been reviewed in the Policy Committee, and basically we're looking at the fiscal aspect. Sue Groth, is she in the audience? Going to testify? And again, Ms. Gross, this is the Finance Committee, so the policy aspect we don't need to go through. And if you'd identify yourself, I'd appreciate it.
Sure. Good morning, or good afternoon, excuse me. My name is Sue Gross, and I am the State Traffic Engineer, and I work for the Minnesota DOT. And our office is obviously concerned about traffic safety. And I realize that might be a policy issue, but I'd like to just address that briefly, because that really, to me, is the focus of this legislation. We've been working very hard in the last many years to reduce traffic deaths on our roadways. And when speed limits were up in at 65 miles per hour 20 years ago, you can imagine what our fatality rate was even at that time. So I'm happy to say that the work that we've been working on has been reducing those deaths on our roadways, and we believe that this bill will be contrary to improving safety on our system. By encouraging people to speed up and go 10 miles over the speed limit while passing, what I believe and what we believe is that that will encourage aggressive driving, which we already have a great deal of out there right now. Speed is cited as a contributing factor in 28% of fatal crashes, while only 7% of crashes on our system are head-on collisions. They account for 20% of fatal crashes, and many of those are associated with passing maneuvers. Crashes and severity rate on our two-lane rural roads are the highest among any roadway in the state in that category. So encouraging higher speeds at a driver's discretion on these roadways would likely increase the number of severe and injury and fatal crashes. So, again, that's the reason that we are opposing it. There is a fiscal note. We went back to our office and honed in and made a lot of assumptions on what would actually have to be done, and I think you have that note before you.
Could I have one? Mr. Chair, I see the fiscal note is just coming around right now.
That's right, it's being passed on. Any questions on the fiscal note? Yeah. Looks like it's worth $390,000 for 2010.
Mm-hmm.
If there are no questions, it's still being laid over for possible consideration in the finance bill. Do you have any more comments, Ms. Gross?
Not unless you have any questions.
No question. Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Groth, you're saying they have to change the signs because they need more space if they're going faster. But if they're going 10 miles faster, wouldn't they be able to pass quicker and get back in a shorter distance than if they were going the same speed limit as the guy going? I guess I don't understand that.
Mr. Chair, can I just jump in here?
Okay.
We had a long discussion in policy committee. We don't understand it either. But.
Mr. Chair, if I might, I dare Mike to ask the question. Mr. Chair, I do have a drawing that if you'd like me to hand out, or I'd like to hand out if at all possible. It has to do with the speed and stopping distance and the sight distances, and I have a drawing.
You may hand it out, and I think that's probably as far as we'll go in the policy portion. Representative Rucavina, do you have any further comment?
Mr. Chair, I'm just curious as to why the dead cow isn't in the road in the drawing from the policy committee. Representative Rossi, do you have...
Ms. Gross will still be laid over. I'm sure if something starts moving, you'll be aware of it again. So.
Thank you for your time.
Yeah.
Thank you, members.
And thank you, Representative Rucavina, to still be laid over. The next show, Representative Hortman, or are you prepared? Representative Hortman. Oh, while she's coming up, we do have a quorum when someone had looked at the minutes and had entertained a motion. Representative Reinhart moved the minutes of March 5th. Any questions or additions or corrections? Not all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Contrary? The minutes are approved. Thank you. Representative Hortman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. House File 878 is a MnDOT agency bill, and I'll let Eric Rudine explain it to the committee.
Are you using the mic, roughly?
Yes, Mr. Chair. This is House File 878 is a MnDOT agency bill, and I'll let Eric Rudine explain it to the committee.
Okay, welcome to the committee, Mr. Rudine.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, I'm Eric Rudine with MnDOT Government Affairs. Section 1 of the bill would provide a mechanism for MnDOT to file the centerline location of a trunk highway as part of the permanent public record before we would move the center line of a trunk highway. And we're proposing this because sometimes a person's property description is written to the center line of a trunk highway. So if we are planning a project where we would move the center line, we feel it's important to officially record that existing center line before we go in and move it. Section 2 of the bill deletes language stating that sums of money received from the State Park Road account should be reflected in the money needs. And actually, although the law directs us to do this, current practice is to not make this adjustment. Section 3 deletes language stating that variances granted for county state aid highways need to be also reflected in a county's money needs. And again, this entails excessive administration and accounting within MnDOT for an outcome that's most often quite negligible. Section 4 of the bill deletes some obsolete language in Minnesota statutes that refers to the 1980s and to the 1990 census. Section 5 would increase the municipal state aid street administrative withholding from 1.5% to 2% of state aid street funds. Section 6 deletes language stating that granted variances to the municipal state aid street standards have to be reflected in a city's money needs. Section 7 of the bill would define an expressway as a divided highway with partial control of access by reference, and Section 8 would define a freeway as a divided highway with full control of access by reference, and these are both related to Section 9 of the bill on outdoor advertising. And the Section 9 does not actually change the requirements for spacing in rural areas for outdoor advertising devices. That's currently 500 feet, and we're maintaining that at 500 feet, but we had some confusion about the way the law was written, and so we just felt it was appropriate to clarify that provision. And then finally, Section 10 of the bill would give MnDOT the ability to review and comment on plat proposals along our state rail bank corridors, and we would hope that this would help us protect and preserve these corridors for future transportation uses. So that's a very brief overview of the bill. We're not aware of any controversy associated with the bill, but I'd be happy to try and answer any questions you had.
Are there any questions? Mr. I got his last name. Radin. And apparently you're going to record the initial transfer, the center line, if you move one over. Is that the idea? So there?
Mr. Chair, that's correct. We would not proactively go out and file all the existing center line locations, but if we do a project where we know we're going to be moving the center line, then in those cases we would go to the county and officially record as part of the public record the location of the center line before we move it.
I was just curious, too, how do you measure the distance from an intersection, from the center, from the end of the radius, or what? You know?
Mr. Chair, I don't know off the top of my head. I could check on that
apparently
for you.
Change. I don't have a problem. Okay. And the other question, I see you referred to advertising devices. What's the difference between the expressway and the freeway as far as the distance out? I thought it was all about the same.
Mr. Chair, that's correct. In a rural area, it has to be 500 feet from the highway or from a ramp to or from the highway, and that would apply whether it was a freeway or whether it was an interchange on an expressway.
Mr. Radin, that doesn't affect anything outside the normal right-of-way, just close to intersections and somewhere. Is that's what you're changing now again? It's still the same from center line to normal right-of-way.
Mr. Chair, that's correct. We're not actually changing the spacing requirement. We're just trying to clarify it so it's easier to understand.
Are there any questions? Representative Hornby.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is just a question on Section 10, page 6, the lines 6 through 9 relating to the placement of advertisements. I'm just wondering, Mr. Radin, and Mr. Chair and Mr. Radin, has MnDOT gotten into the issues of distractions as they relate to advertisements? And I've been probably going to do some distracted driving stuff next session, and was wondering if this has come up at all and if that was a reason why you're moving these distances around.
Mr. Redeem?
Mr. Chair and Representative Hornstein, no, that's not the reason for this clarification. I'm not sure if you're referring to the changeable message billboards, which we are monitoring. We have not actually noticed an increase in accidents as a result of those types of billboards, but it's something that we're continuing to monitor.
Thank you.
And we do have a fiscal note, as you know. It really doesn't have an impact because it's out of the dedicated funds. And Representative Workman, I believe we got to get the bill moved. Did you move it? I didn't hear it.
Mr. Chair, I would like to move that House File 878 be recommended to pass and re-referred to the General Register.
To Finance, I believe.
Finance?
To Finance.
And I would assume that we'd also lay over the contents for possible inclusion in an omnibus bill, but I don't know if it'd be good for it to travel separately or in a big package, so I'd like to just move the separate bill on to Finance, and then we can cross that bridge later.
I believe it does have to go to Finance first. Otherwise, we'd have to split it in half.
Oh, okay. I'm also going to Finance.
Any questions of the author or the testifier? If not, Representative Hortman renews your motion. If you can, again, do you want to say it again or not?
That House File 878 be recommended to pass and re-referred to the Committee on Finance.
Okay. You heard the motion. All in favor, say aye.
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 Contrary. The motion prevails, and House File 878 is approved or passed. The next four bills that we have up are basically just a preliminary review of bonding proposals, which will be laid over until we go back to recommend to the bonding committee. And there's a problem with one of them. Is that what the Representative Holberg?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And when are we going to make our bonding recommendations? I think I saw it in some upcoming agenda.
I believe it's next week. This coming Thursday? This coming Thursday.
And, Mr. Chair, one thing that I'm concerned about with all these transit lines is operating costs. It's one thing to have the capital to build them, but as we know, that council is really struggling to have operating dollars for the system that they have now, so I'm wondering if there'll be any information provided to the committee prior to the bonding recommendations so that we would have some idea of how much and when operating dollars would be necessary for these various lines.
So basically, we could discuss that on Thursday, Representative Holbrook, with the bonding proposals, right?
All right, thank you, Mr. Mm-hmm. Chair.
The next bill up is Representative Hansen. See, I'll move House File 828 to bring it before us. Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee.
You recognize these bills are being laid over.
Yeah.
Right.
House File 828 is bill following up on statute that we had been provided before in Dakota County. The Robert Street Corridor has done some preliminary work after a previous bonding bill, I have Mr. Dan Crom with me to explain where this next step, House File 828, goes and why it's needed. Mr. Crom.
Mr. Chair, committee members, my name is Dan Crom. I'm the Dakota County Transit Manager. I apologize for our legislative chair, Commissioner Schillweiler, not being here. She's currently in Washington pursuing other federal funds. Thank you for the opportunity to be here and share information on the planning activities on the Robert Street Corridor. With funding provided by the 2006 legislature, Dakota County, Ramsey County Regional Rail Authority, along with MnDOT, MET councils, and cities along the corridor, completed an initial planning study to assess potential and expanded transit options in the corridor from Minnesota's Union Depot in St. Paul to potentially Umore Park in Rosemont. The study looked at existing and future transit and transportation issues, analyzed costs, benefits, and impacts of a potential transit alternatives for the corridor. Now, please keep in mind these facts. The total population in the corridor is expected to increase 44% by 2030. Employers in the corridor are expected to increase 27% more jobs by 2030. And MnDOT forecasts that congestion in the corridor will be a significant daily occurrence on Trunk Highway 52, 149, 3, and 55, with no planned expansion of these roadways. The study considered several alignments, Robert Street, Lafayette, Trunk Highway 52, Trunk Highway 55, and the Union Pacific Spur Line into Eagan. Transit modes considered were express bus between park and rides and downtown, limited stop, bus rapid transit, all-day service utilizing roadway shoulders, streetcar primarily focused on Robert Street operating in a mixed traffic environment, and light rail transit along Robert Street and Trunk Highway 52, potentially using the proposed reconstructed Lafayette Bridge alignment. Recommendations included short, medium, and long-term implementation strategies. In the short term, enhance bus of the existing bus service, establish a transit center in the vicinity of the Dakota County Northern Service Center located in Ember Grove Heights, and begin planning for other park and ride facilities along the corridor. In the medium term, expanded bus routes and express service along the corridor to Rosemont, and in the long term, creation of a transitway from downtown St. Paul to Rosemont, linking major destinations in southern Ramsey and northern Dakota County. Confirmation of these findings is evident in the fact that the recently adopted Met Council 2030 Transportation Policy Plan identifies the Robert Street area as a potential BRT corridor from downtown St. Paul to I-94 Trunk Highway 110 interchange. The state bonding request will allow for more detailed assessment of the alternatives in terms of alignments and modes, provide resources for environmental and engineering work to begin, and potentially establish park and ride transit center near the northern service center in Dakota County. Thank you for the opportunity to be here today, and thank you to Representative Hansen for being such a strong advocate for improved transit services in our county.
Representative Hollisman, do you have any comment?
Mr. Chair, I was just going to quickly look because I was looking at all three of these bills, and occasionally we have to just make certain what language is being used, whether something is bondable, and I think on a couple of these bills that's coming up. But one of the issues in this one would be, for example, environmental studies, mm-hmm. That I think that's got to be cash that locals provide or something, I mean, certainly when you get into preliminary engineering and property acquisition and construction, but I think, you know, the observation I would have here would be that environmental studies probably isn't bondable.
That was my concern when I see what's on the list. Representative Hansen, you're aware of that, or Mr.
Mr. Chair and Representative Hausman, I believe as this bill has moved through the Senate, they have had a correction on that environmental studies component, and so we were trying to get that language for it.
Representative Holder.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Bingham had a bill here a couple weeks ago with a blanket amount with a whole list of a whole bunch of things that they might use the money for, and Washington County was kind enough to provide the committee with more detail in exactly how the money was expected to be spent, and I would hope that Dakota County would be able to do that before Thursday, because just a list of mites and maybes I don't think is a good way to move forward. But can you tell me, with your neighbors in Washington County, I'm trying to look from this map, the proximity of this corridor to the rail corridor, I think is it, right? I get them confused.
The Red Rock
corridor, and kind of the spacing on that. If, I mean, at some point we're going to have to pick, I think, between one or the other. We can't have a whole bunch of corridors coming in from the southeast, each spaced, you know, 5 to 10 miles apart. I just don't think you're going to get the density of the ridership to support such expensive capital investment, you know, even if there is a change in the cost effectiveness index. So I'm trying to get a handle on how far away this line is from the Red Rock line.
Mr. Cromer, Representative Hansen.
Mr. Chair and Representative Holbrook, I think those are good points, and I want to be clear that the preliminary work has looked at a variety of options, and we have not picked a route or a mode of transportation, and that this next step would be looking at those in conjunction with the work that's been done on Red Rock and the work that's been done on the Cedar Avenue. And Mr. Crone can walk you right through where that Red Rock is.
Mr. Chair,
Mr. Crone,
Representative Holberg, when we did the study, the initial feasibility study, there are two distinct travel markets there. The river is a bigger boundary than it appears on a line on a map. This line down Robert Street or even the 52 corridor, again, the Met Council has identified as a minimum arterial BRT busway, whereas the commuter line, the endpoint is Hastings, potentially even as far as Red Wing. So there are different travel markets, and the river is a substantial barrier to that flow between the two corridors with one river crossing between there and Hastings.
And Mr. Chair, if we had more detailed information as far as what they were looking for money for, okay, we might know that. But you say transitway, that can mean anything. If you say busway, that means something completely different, at least when you start chinging the dollars up relative to the cost. And you're much more familiar with the initial study, but my recollection is that it would be decades before there'd be enough ridership to justify anything beyond a busway on existing roadway. Can you let the committee know, as far as that initial study, how many years it would be before they guessed that there'd be enough ridership to justify anything beyond a busway?
Mr. Chair, Representative Holberg, the initial study identified years out the ridership numbers. I don't have those on the top of my head. I'd be willing to provide that. However, the options, the next phase of the study work, the alternatives analysis, will determine the alignment and the mode, and the choice of the mode will help to determine what the ridership potentially could be. Initially, it looks like that Robert Street itself is more in line to be a potential streetcar with a vehicle operating in mixed traffic versus a light rail line in that alignment. 52 lends itself more to light rail, but it's not near the commercial centers where people need to go or want to go through. So the next phase of the study work will pin that down and determine the locally preferred alternative and the appropriate mode accordingly. And that drives some of the ridership drives some of those decisions.
All right, thank you, Mr. Chair.
Rifkin Hornstein.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I am intrigued with the streetcar idea, and I just had a couple of questions on that. You know, in my district, you know, we've been looking at this option for the Midtown Greenway, but there's some real challenges with funding because my understanding is that streetcars are not considered like a regional transit, you know, line similar to, you know, a light rail or bus rapid transit line, and therefore, you know, you have to rely a lot on local funding. And so I'm wondering if DeGota County has done any kind of funding scenarios for this line. You know, in Portland, Oregon, they funded streetcars through kind of transportation TIF-type districts or transit TIF-type districts. What are your thoughts? I think there's also some limits and maybe some federal money available, but I think real limits in terms of regional dollars for a streetcar. Have you looked at that?
Mr. Crown.
Mr. Chair, Representative Hornstein, the streetcar systems are eligible for the very small start program as it exists now, and this would qualify in that vein. Again, we've conducted an initial feasibility study. We haven't got into the costs or funding sources as of yet, but with the current environment along Robert Street, the streetcar could operate in that mixed traffic environment, not require substantial right-of-way and not impact the current traffic flow.
Mr. Chair, one quick follow-up. Also in Minneapolis, we did a streetcar study, and I think there have been a few routes that have been recommended. Is there anything similar happening in St. Paul with just streetcars beyond Robert Street?
Mr. Crone?
Mr. Chair, Representative Hornstein, I'm not aware. I believe Commissioner Bennett had an idea for the Bennett Loop utilizing streetcars, but that's not part of the study work we've been doing. We've really been focused on Union Depot down the Robert Street corridor.
Okay, thank you.
And one other point of clarification, this would be a project eventually that would be eligible for the CTIP funding once we got into the preliminary engineering phase.
Any further questions? If not, again, the committee is going to recommend to the bond committee. We don't pass the bill, the bonding portion. There are no further questions. Thank you, gentlemen. We'll lay this bill over for review, basically, on Thursday. Would you provide that material that Representative Holberg spoke about?
Yeah.
If you give it to Abby prior to the committee. See, Representative Loeffler, is she in? Oh.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
And the chair will move House File 765 to be laid over for consideration of the bond bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. This bill is to fund the help fund the replacement of a fractured critical gusset place bridge in northeast Minneapolis. And it might sound familiar because this committee actually had recommended planning funding for this in the past, and it was line item by the governor out of the last bonding bill. But I need to bring it up to date. It's always been a bridge that makes people a little nervous going across it to begin with. But it, on 2008, the condition was determined to be so critical that they had to put severe weight restrictions on it. It connects a couple of major industrial areas in Minneapolis. This is not your typical parkway. This is a pretty gritty, hardworking part of town. And it is 73 years old, and underneath it are 24 railroad tracks. These are not float pass-through tracks. These are real working yards where the workers complain and say about the falling cement and worry about being injured actually under this bridge at the current time. But it is also where all the cars are coupled and decoupled on the way from Chicago to Seattle. And one of the challenges in replacing this bridge, and at one point they had looked into whether or not they could repair it and was lined up for repair a few years ago, was that the condition has gotten to the point where it was determined it was not cost effective to try doing that. But one of the challenges that we're going to face in replacing it is trying to do it with all of this active trains, you know, 24 lines of them going back and forth under there on a routine basis. It is a key component of the economic sector infrastructure. It's the kind of bridge where you worry not only about it, what would happen to you if you were on top of it when it fell, but you'd also worry about what it fell onto because of the kinds of hazardous materials that are routinely transported there that could pose an environmental health risk to the surrounding area. It has over 4,400 vehicles a day. It has twice as many trucks as a typical truck route in the city of Minneapolis. It connects a couple of neighborhoods, one of which would be somewhat isolated without that, and it is over 500 feet. It also has a fair number of pedestrians and bikers because it is the only way you can connect to the rest of the city, and the bike trails on the river is to go through this industrial zone, and so it actually is used by bikers on the Grand Rounds byway system. And it has the other unique issue that may be emerging and add to costs ultimately, and that this would be the preferred route for the Northern Lights route to Duluth. And if we were to, the planners for the Duluth route have indicated they believe there needs to be a dedicated track just for that to make that work, and that would add an additional track underneath this bridge and influence the size of it. You'll notice in your packet that an actual design has not been finally arrived at. They are working right now with the community and the engineers on what that might be. There's no commitment to any one of these. It's interesting that a cable stay version might actually be the most cost effective because of the cost of rerouting all of the business that takes place underneath the route and to avoid the further risk of a derailment of one of those cars taking out one of the support beams if you were to go to a more traditional bridge design, but they're still evaluating that. And with that, Mr. Chair, I'm going to turn it over to Jet Yunza, who is the engineer who's been working for the City of Minneapolis on this, unless people have general questions.
Representative Hausman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just to your reference that this might be the route of the Northern Lights Express, if that were the case, wouldn't a replacement bridge be part of that, the cost of that project? If that were the route of...
Mr. Yunza?
Chairman Leiter, Representative
Hausman,
I would imagine that as that project developed, that if there was additional length required to this span of this bridge, that would be a cost that would be associated with that project. We have had discussions with the railroad. We will have discussions as Northern Lights moves on so that whatever we build will not require or impede the ability to add length or impede the ability to incorporate the new lines underneath the bridge.
Mr. Yusin, would you identify yourself for the record as long as you've spoken?
Chairman Leiter, I'm Jack Yusna. I'm with the City of Minneapolis. I'm a principal engineer, and I've been vetting this project along. It's a long effort that we've been going through. As Representative Loeffler has indicated, we did have funding at one time for rehabilitation. And after years, back in 2000, and after quite a few years of working on it, we found that it wasn't economical, or we didn't have the funding to rehabilitate the entire structure with the amount of federal grants we had. Before you, in your packet, is a summary of the project, the synopsis of the project with backup on the existing bridge and the history and the condition. As Representative Loeffler indicated, we are looking at different alignments to see how it would be most cost-effectively built, and we're looking at different types of bridges to build and doing some initial pricing. We've done some initial pricing, and we're continuing to investigate the cost implications of those as the project develops. This project isn't an expansion of vehicular roadway. It's a two-lane motor vehicle bridge today. It only needs to be a two-lane motor vehicle bridge in the future. We'd like to increase the and look for increasing the non-motorized portion of the bridge for bikeway so it connects up with the Grand Rounds. It also, as it previously stated, is in very poor condition. We have had to go under and provide additional support. There has been localized failure of the floor beam steel that we've had to pop up on the edge and made repairs. The bridge has been load restricted as of early in 2008. As Representative Loeffler also noted, the cost of the construction is not as much a factor of the type of bridge, but the complexities in erecting the bridge. A more expensive bridge may be cheaper to erect, and we feel that might be the most cost-effective construction. It's going to be very difficult to find windows to go in there and remove the bridge, much less build a new bridge in its place. So with that, I would like to answer any questions you may have.
Representative Reiner.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just to follow up on Representative Hausman's question, from the northern end of the Northern Lights Express line, it's my understanding that the dedicated track would be an ideal situation, but I think the replacement of the bridge is necessitated more by the local use issues than the NLX.
And, Chair, I think I misunderstood them initially because they didn't mean to imply that it was going to go over the bridge, but under the bridge. That was, I wasn't listening carefully, and I caught on a little late.
Mr. Chair and Representative Reinhart, I just felt that you should know that that may or may not complicate a little bit of the design issues, but it's definitely before you because of its deteriorated condition more than anything else, and we would not want it delayed because of other plans as well. But as our engineer has indicated, those will be thought through as they're doing the design, so that it works as best we can.
Are there further questions? Representative Holder.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And is there a reason why this wouldn't qualify for the federal stimulus money if
they're
getting 100% paid for with federal dollars, if the need is so great?
Mr. Chair, Representative Holder, we did not include it with the first round of the stimulus package because of the what we understood to be the shovel readiness time frame. We are keeping an eye on it. This project has already received $8 million in safety loop money from the federal government through the last solicitation, and we still are seeking other funds. We have begun looking at how to accelerate the schedule so that we'll have the design moved ahead. There's a solid, you know, our estimates right now is we believe we have a solid year's worth of design to do, but we could possibly accelerate that and shorten up some of the other developments and get it ready for the next round.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair and Representative Holzberg, I was also informed that one of the issues, too, is whether or not the current safety lien dollars that have been dedicated to this project could be used to match those federal dollars if we need to have a state match to earn that. And you probably know more about the federal funding than I do.
Well, Mr. Chair, we were told that the stimulus money didn't have local match required.
No further questions? Thank you. We'll lay the bill over for consideration in the bond
bill.
Thank you. Representative Bly. Representative Bly. We currently, there's some problems with your bill that you need some correction. Are you aware of that?
Yes, I am aware of that.
Mr. Burr, speak for Ms. Hewers, one of you, could you explain that for the committee before I move the bill?
It's the
language. Could you do it?
Mr. Chair and members, on page 1, line 8, the appropriation is for an alternatives analysis, and alternatives analysis is not a bondable activity. So I believe that language is being worked on.
Yes. Ms. Hewers or Mr. Burris, were you recommending some different language? Is that change of language?
Mr. Chair and members, we don't have a specific language recommendation at this time, but stand ready when such language is ready to be recommended.
Okay, if the committee understands that, we can hear the bill, and we'll on Thursday when we consider the language change to be here.
Yeah,
and I'll move the bill that House File 1380 is before us to be recommended for consideration. The bond bill will be laid over. Yeah, Representative Bly.
Thank you, Chairman and committee members. The bill represents a desire to try to bring commuter rail to Northfield. And initially when the opportunity was brought to me, I wasn't sure what language I should put this in, and tried to put something in as a placeholder so that we could move forward and would have a little more time to pull together the language that would describe what it is that we're going to do. And I do have Phil Qualley here to speak a little bit more about it. But this is an issue that's very important to my to the community of Northfield and in my district. And I have come before the committee before for another commuter rail proposal, which has met with some difficulty, as you may know. So I'm trying as many opportunities as I can, and hopefully we can find one that will be a feasible and workable project. But I would ask Ms. Qualley to speak to the issue.
Mr. Qualley.
Mr. Chairman, committee members, good afternoon. I'm Philip Qualley, State Legislative Director for the United Transportation Union. The UTU is the representative of the conductors. remote control locomotive operators, yard masters, and switchmen's contracts nationwide. We operate Amtrak commuter operations nationwide, including the Northeast Corridor. Oh, just a few comments briefly. I'd like to say that we certainly support this bonding proposal. We believe that looking at Faribault and Northfield and Greater Rice County as a model of a outstate collection point for rail service would serve the public well. We do think that, for example, Southern Tier County residents would drive part distance to the Twin Cities and park their car in a park and ride and get onto a commuter rail service. And we think that that's a model that the state of Minnesota should be looking at. And I think there's a prohibition about speaking about the Dan Patch Corridor. However, certainly from Northfield, there are alternatives to the Twin Cities, both Minneapolis and St. Paul. We have, ETU has encouraged different entities in the state to put in bonding proposals. And the piece here that we want to just mention that is on the national rail scene. Minnesota is falling behind on some of the service that's being provided across the United States. And with the Amtrak reauthorization bill of 2008, the federal piece of legislation, we believe it's important that any interested communities in the state or corridors put in a bonding proposal and at least get themselves into a position of being a bond, or excuse me, a stakeholder or a placeholder on that national project list that's growing very quickly. Minnesota will be competing with other regions of the country, Mid-Atlantic, Upper Midwest, from Michigan to Missouri. There's a great deal of commuter and intrastate rail service occurring. So we want to thank Representative Bly and the citizens of South Central Minnesota for having an interest in this service. We simply think it should be taken a good look at and analyzed. Finally, the line itself is a former rock island. It's very well engineered. It's operated by the Union Pacific. It has track characteristics with well graded, and the curves are raised and broad, which by in itself will take a high-speed rail. When I'm speaking of high speed, I'm thinking of the 79-mile-per-hour potential. It is centralized traffic control territory, which is the top of the line for train dispatching efficiencies. And finally, a unique characteristic with the Rock Island line on the Union Pacific is that immediately south from Union Depot across the river, paralleling Concord Boulevard out to Rosemont, there's a section of track that's approximately 18 miles. The Union Pacific has two routes that climb that hill, and for a perhaps approximately 5 to 6 miles of new track, you would open up that 18 miles of track for double mainline operation, which is really the improvements that we want to see that not only help on promote passenger and commuter rail, but also helps your freight and intermodal services, which we believe is good for the economy. So with that, committee chair and committee members, thank you very much.
Mr. Qualley, it shows existing track. Is that operational now, or is that just a track that's not being used? Just Northfield through Rosemont. That's operational now?
That is, yes. That is the Union Pacific's Rock Island Spine Line, which is the Winnipeg, Duluth, St. Paul, Kansas City corridor. Thank you.
Representative Holbert?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Bly, I have to ask this on behalf of my constituents. And when your first bill was introduced, the emails started cranking up from Lakeville to Minneapolis on the Dan Patch line, and I see that the Senate companion to that bill has already passed the Senate floor, and I actually was at a neighborhood meeting in Lakeville last Thursday night about issues around the Dan Patch line, and so I'm asking on behalf of my constituents, is it your intent to move the House companion to that bill? They're ever vigilant, checking committee schedules, et cetera, and I just are curious what your plan is.
It is my intent, as it was before, to open up the conversation about that route. And I am sensitive to what you're saying, and we've talked before about the concerns of your constituents. And
Representative Holbert, we have that scheduled after basically our deadline because it passed the Senate, so we can take it, be hearing that bill later, or, you know. It's in Reps and Hornstein's committee. It come up first.
Mr. Chair, and so the word to my residents is that you are continuing to pursue the other legislation as well.
Yes, that's correct.
All right. You'll keep watching then.
Further questions? Reps and Holly.
Mr. Chair and members, I want to just speak to this bill and Representative Riddle's bill and Representative Morrow's bill that I think is due, I don't know, Thursday or next week, and talk a little bit about why I think we're seeing these bills. And last year, you may recall that language about the state rail plan, which we don't have. We do not have a state rail plan for freight and passenger rail, where a group of people sit down and in with professional help, we make the determination and do all of the work required to determine what is in the state's best interest. For the economic health of the state, what is in the state's best interest, and look at ridership and all of that. Because we don't have that, and because MnDOT has instead organized something called a passenger rail forum, I think all of these local lines have thought we've got to start our own work. Because the Passenger Rail Forum actually has as its mission to recommend for federal funding some lines. And only some lines were invited. Duluth was invited and Rochester was invited. And I think in large part they were because of strong local efforts. So I think now Representative Bly and Representative Erdahl and Representative Morrow think that's our route to get on the radar screen. We have to have a strong local effort that raises the profile of our particular line. St. Cloud wasn't invited. I think they will now be because we've talked about that. These corridors to the south and the west weren't. And I think what it tells us is not only do we have an issue with the lack of state rail plan, and so it depends on local efforts, but the issue of governance. I can tell you in my office, where if you've ever been there, you see a dozen maps. In the past, I used to just have the metro map. But now, every time someone comes in and they want to discuss a metro route, I have to get the statewide map out. Because depending on how it moves through the metro region, it connects outstate to one of these. And you can't decide one without thinking of the implications of the other. And vice versa. When we look at the North Shore Express or one of these other lines where there is local effort, inevitably you have to pull out the metro map because if there's connectivity, that means they move to somewhere else, it's relevant how they move through the metropolitan area. And I just am convinced that this whole issue of that we've sort of moved to a new stage. And I have introduced a bill that pulls Metro Transit out from under Met Council and that moves the Office of Transit out from under MnDOT for a transit agency that's charged statewide with serving the entire state equitably so that taxpayer money is well used and that taxpayers are well served. But right now, I think all these communities are sort of stumbling. And they don't want to be left out as they see movement in this direction, particularly as it relates now to the stimulus bill with a lot of federal money coming in. And so I think everyone is sort of forced to show their local effort. And I'm hoping that when that state rail plan, there is a first meeting called now, that perhaps it will bring some order to what's happening now. What's happening in the state now happened in the metro area earlier. And so hopefully there will be some sort of governance structure so that you don't have to ask all of the good questions you ask about process as we move forward. But anyway, that's just context. I support actually all of these people bringing their bills forward because right now it's the only thing they can do. It's the only way they have to enter the conversation.
Thank you, Representative Hausman. Any further questions or comment? If not, Representative Bly, the bill will be laid over for consideration in the bond zone. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I don't think we have time for any more. Is he on our committee? No, that's right, he's on it. You aren't on this committee, probably. So I should move your bill, if I'm sorry. The chair will move House File 1210 to be laid over for consideration in the bond bill. Representative Erdahl.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I look on this as saving the best for last. Appreciate some of the comments already being made. The question is, a little history. A year ago, Representative Junkie and I, in statute, named a transit corridor to the west, the Little Crow Line. And, why was this necessary? Well, in my years here, I've realized that there seemed to be, if you take 94 to the northwest, 169 to the southwest, that quadrant in between seemed to be lacking any plan, particularly to the east-west. And there is a need, at least I think there is, that's part of the reason for this legislation is to explore that need. But it would particularly, as I envision it right now, affect Hennepin, Wright, Meeker, Kandy, Ojai counties, and then later on to points west, perhaps. But 64% of the people who work in Meeker County, of the workers in Meeker County, leave the county for their jobs each day, and most of them go to the Twin Cities. The percentage is even higher in Wright County. And so we have a lot of people who are driving on Highway 12, trying to get into the Twin Cities each day. Highway 12 is becoming more and more congested, and the outlook is that it will continue to have that situation as we go through the years. And so we want to look at what is possible to the west. What is the best transportation plan? And I recognize, by the way, that we have the same problem with our bill that Representative Bly does, and that language will have to be worked on. What are the possibilities? I mean, would buses be a better alternative? Some great carpool program? I don't know. I want us to look at the railroad. The possibility of another track. Or can we do it with just the track that does exist now? Could we run a line, a train in from Wilmer each morning and back out each night? What is feasible? What is the possibilities of Amtrak once we get into this? So that's what the bill basically is about. We'd like to study this. We'd like to get our foot in the door and. Essentially, we are behind a lot of the other lines that have been established and moving along, but we think that we do have an important part of the state, and we need to take a look at how it can be best served in the realm of transportation. I also have Mr. Qualley here.
My only concern is the fact is this name that was put on, is that widely accepted or just by you?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I've heard no objection. It is to commemorate the spirit of Little Crow.
Okay. You have a testifier, I presume.
Yes.
Welcome to the committee.
Mr. Chairman, committee members, thank you. I am Philip Qualley, State Legislative Director for the United Transportation Union Minnesota Legislative Board. My comments will echo my prior comments on another corridor briefly. We support this bonding proposal. Again, we believe the model of outstate collector hubs for rail service would serve the public well. I again believe and want to reiterate Representative Hausman's comments, the importance of having a gaining status on a national project list, and that these bonding bills at least take a step in that direction, and the importance of doing so when federal dollars in the Amtrak Reauthorization Act are being under competition from other states. I'd like to mention just briefly on the Little Crow Corridor is the Burlington Northern Santa Fe main line from Minneapolis to Wilmer. And beyond, I know that there is great interest in North Dakota for new Amtrak service with a second train, and the proposed route would be Bismarck Mandan to Fargo and south through Wilmer and into the Twin Cities is one option. And with this line, a good news with this is that while it's single mainline operation, 60 mile per hour track with automatic block signal systems, in other words, it's in very good shape. It's 60 mile per hour freight being upgraded this week. It's a good line, but you can add a second main line from Minneapolis to Wayzata and from Wayzata to Delano, and the existing roadbed from abandoned track is still there. The bridges, the viaducts, and infrastructure is still in place, and we see particularly a potential for service from Delano into the cities as being high ridership as a collection point. So with that said, it's a good line, and we think we support this legislation, and thank you very much, Mr. Chair.
Did I understand you correctly that there's an existing right-of-way list where there was a previously an additional line?
Mr. Chairman, that is correct. The Little Crow line is originally the Great Northern Railroad from Minneapolis to Wilmer. It had double main line operations side by side from Minneapolis out to approximately Delano, and then I believe from Atwater into Wilmer on the west end of the segment. In 1987, the Burlington Northern under the, at the time was Frisco, former St. Louis and San Francisco Railroad new management, took out that double main line. So the roadbed is still there, and that is the way it is. Thank you.
Any questions?
And we'd like to do this quickly so that we have Emmer to take advantage of it. From Delaware and Hartman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want the committee to know that the legislature ordered that these lines, these exact lines, be studied in 1998, 1999, and 2000, and there's a great deal of data that already exists on the cost-benefit analysis and the ridership and the environmental issues and the condition of the tracks and the viability for passenger rail. So I hope that we won't fund more studies to duplicate work that we already did. I think the problem we have in Minnesota with regard to rail is in implementation and getting it done. We don't need to study it. We need to start doing it. So if anybody's interested in looking at the studies that were done on these lines, I think it would be really useful for the authors of these bills to know what the ridership was, what the potential environmental problems were, and the cost issues that have already been identified, so we can start from the place where the work has already been done instead of starting over again.
Representative Hollis.
And Mr. Chair, to that point, when MnDOT originally put up out the RFP for the consultant who's going to work on that state rail plan, it almost looked as though the directive to the consultant was to start over. And I know a number of us talked to MnDOT and said, surely we're not going to pay for all of this twice, because we do believe there has been really a significant amount of study, and I'm assured that by MnDOT that they would use all existing work so that we don't pay twice for what's already been done. They'll build on what we've already invested in.
Mr. Chairman,
I
agree with Representative Hausman and Representative Portman. Add on to what has been, but there have been changes as well. I know, again, in terms of ridership, that the number of people leaving counties to the west to come here and work has changed. That there are many more than there used to be, and so we need to look at that.
Any further questions? If not, thank you, gentlemen. And the bill will be made over for consideration of the bill. And for the next meeting and next Thursday, we'll be discussing these bond recommendations and also the Representative Hausman, the budget. We have the budget bond bill, is that your number 1309? Oh, wait a minute. That's not the only bonding. It's our big other bill. Is there no further questions? Meeting's adjourned.